Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Pastor Munga, good afternoon to you, sir. Hello, Pastor Munga.
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes.
But you still have the network challenge.
Yes, yes, I can hear you now. Are you good?
I'm great. And how are you over there?
Very well, thank you. Very well, thank you. Now, where you know the Bible tells us that God gave us the Ten Commandments. In fact, he gave them to Moses, who led the ancient Israelites after they had been freed from slavery and were headed toward the land that God had promised them. Now, today we want to discuss their relevance and whether or not that applies to us. Now, firstly, Pastor, before we go anywhere, the Ten Commandments, who were they exactly addressed to?
Thank you. When you look at the words of the Ten Commandments, the word is there. Mm. What you conclude, what you and I conclude, is that the Ten Commandments such as they are written. Why do I say so? When you look at the fourth commandment, there says, remember, keep the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Mm.
Now, remember, that means they had already been taught that this commandment.
Yeah.
It was not the first time, but many of these people had forgotten. And you remember this address, special address was addressed to the children of Israel. They had stayed in Egypt for 400 years.
Mm.
Now they are told to remember. That means they knew about this, but now it is possible they had forgotten. And then you also look at the same Sabbath commandment. It says, it's not only you to keep the Sabbath, Brother Zama. Your children must keep it, that is boys and girls. And the visitor.
Mm.
If you have got a visitor on the Sabbath, the visitor is supposed to keep it. Not only does it, even your animals. By this, you are talking about like the agriculture setup.
Yeah, yeah.
Even your draft animals are supposed to rest on this day.
Mm-hmm.
Further than that, when we say the commandments were addressed to all human beings, you go to Genesis chapter 4, where you find Cain who killed the brother. He was punished for murder.
Mm.
So that means the commandments has been there from creation. Then bringing it closer again in Genesis 26, verse 5, we hear the Bible saying, because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So even before the Hebrews were there, the Bible said Abraham kept the commandments of God. So the commandments have always been there.
Mm. And so they are not only to Israelites that one, because it, I think they were addressed to the Israelites because he was talking to them, and if they were going to be having friends over, if they were going to be having children, you know, if they're going to be having animals and the people that they employ. Now we are literally thousands of years later, and I don't see the connection.
Yes, but yes, this the ten. When you talk about a particular the Ten Commandments, yes, are addressed to the children of Israel. But the verse that we have read on Abraham keeping the same commandment, that was years before we could talk about the children of Israel. Maybe more than 1,000 years before.
Okay.
He came on the sea.
Mm-hmm.
The commandments were there. It says Abraham kept my commandments. He kept my laws.
Mm.
So the commandments have always been there. And they have always been relevant, and they will remain relevant for all ages.
Okay, that's fine. I hear you. Now, there's a part that says, blessed are they who do his commandments. And the Bible tells us. But, you know, oftentimes those who promote obedience to commandments are labeled legalistic. Were the Ten Commandments, in fact, abolished at the cross? We hear that quite a lot.
No, they were not. Yes, we hear that quite a lot. In the Bible, we find the different kind of laws.
Mm.
You have the ceremonial laws.
Mm.
Those laws that were pointing to the death of Christ, that the law of sacrifices.
Mm.
If someone committed sin, you get a lamb, we take it to the temple, have it sacrificed. That was the law, the ceremonial law.
Ah,
those
okay.
laws that were pointing to the death of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have got the, they also have the civic laws. If someone is stole an animal, you have to pay this, you have to pay that, almost a modification of what we have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
There was also then you also talk about the moral law, the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
So what was abolished on the cross is the ceremonial law.
Okay.
Those ceremonies are no longer necessary now. You and I do not need to slaughter lambs.
Mm.
because those were ceremonies that were pointing to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
When Christ died, remember John said, "Behold, look at the Lamb of God." No other than the temple was cut in the temple. That means those ceremonies were no longer needed. Even they were abolished.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one they were pointing to had come and had died on behalf of all sinners.
Mm. Okay, now does that mean that Jesus fulfilled the law? What does that mean?
The great controversy between Christ and the devil has been on the law of God.
Mm.
And the great question is, can immortal beings obey the law of God or the commandments?
Mm.
The devil's argument is that human beings cannot obey the law of God.
Mm.
And therefore, the devil presents God as being unfair by demanding human beings to obey a law that they cannot obey.
Okay.
But so when the Bible says Christ fulfilled the law, Christ fulfilled the law through his perfect obedience and through his death on the cross. Here on planet Earth, the devil's argument that a human being cannot obey the law of God.
Mm-hmm.
But here is Christ, who did not live on earth as an angel.
Mm.
He lived both as God and also as a human being.
Mm.
Why was that important, that combination?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ lived as a human being to give you, Brother Zama, and all our listeners, all of us, an example of obedience to his Father.
Okay.
That in this world where the devil says the law cannot be obeyed by human beings,
yeah,
I have come in human form and I have obeyed. And not only that, Christ was also God to give human beings power to obey all the commandments of God. So Christ is our example, and he also gives us power to do it.
Mm.
Someone says, no, it's not possible to keep the law. Here's the example of Jesus. 33 and a half years he lived on this earth. He didn't just come as a tourist maybe for 2, 3, 4 days. No, 33 and a half years is a long time. And in all that time, he was staying with human beings, commandments of God, giving you and I an example, and giving you power obey the same law.
Yeah. Interesting. Now, having used the example of Jesus, as you have used it, how are we then to practically apply the Ten Commandments in our lives? You're saying that he was both God and man, so which means that he was able to actually apply it, I suppose, because of his added power. But how are we to practically apply using his example?
Thank you. The challenge that we have as human beings, like the opening remarks you talk about, when you want to obey the law of God using human efforts, that is legalism now, using your power.
Yeah.
But the Bible is very clear that it is an impossibility for a human being on his own or on her own to keep the law of God. That's why when we read in Ezekiel 36, verse 27, the Bible says, "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgment and do them." So God has promised it is the Holy Spirit who comes in you, Brother Zama, and when he comes in you, he causes you to walk in the commandments of God.
Mm.
No wonder the Bible tells us in Ephesians there 5 verse 18, say, "Be filled by the Holy Spirit and be not drunk with wine." Now, that example of alcohol is very important for us. When someone is drunk with wine, how do they walk? They stagger. But they are not walking like that before drinking.
Yeah, yeah.
What is causing them to stagger is what they have taken inside them. It is what is inside that is controlling them.
Yeah.
So no wonder the Bible promises the Holy Spirit in you. He is the one who makes you to keep that commandment. Not only to keep the commandment, in Psalm 40 verse 8 it says, "I delight to do your will, oh my God."
Mm.
Your law is within my heart. Because it's one thing to keep the law of God. It is another thing to enjoy keeping the law of God.
Now tell me, Pastor, as we wrap up this conversation. You know, I realize that Christ as a human being kept the law of God, perfectly. After Christ, I struggle to find you know, many other people who have done so, who have kept the commandments perfectly as they were. Do you think that the perfect compliance is to the law is actually a reasonable expectation? Is it actually even possible?
No, it is possible. How is it? When you read Job chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil or shunned evil. This is a Job, a human being like Brother Sam and all our listeners. The Bible describes him. Actually, it's not the God. When you go in verse 9, God tells the devil in the face, have you considered my servant Job, who is perfect, who is upright? So this is not a rumor. It is God describing Job, a human being living on earth.
Yeah.
And God describes him as being perfect and upright. He fears God, shuns evil. Then when you come to Matthew in chapter 5, verse 48, it says, be perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So perfection is a commandment. It's a commandment from God. And you remember, whatever he commands you, that every command is a promise that he will give you the power to do that. The challenge is that as human beings, we quickly look at ourselves. But we don't look at the one who has commanded and the one who has promised to give us power. Remember also in Leviticus 11, verse 45, the Bible says, God says, I'm holy, so be holy also. So God has not lowered his standard. He has not lowered the cutoff point. No, he still maintains that high standard. But for you to maintain, to have that high standard, you need his spirit within you. Then you can speak like David to say, your law is within my heart, and because your law is within my heart, I delight to do your will. I enjoy to do your will. Oh, my God. We are supposed to enjoy these commandments, but we can only enjoy the commandments when Jesus is living in us through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Now, I wonder, because you know, in Isaiah, there's a quotation there, reference, I think it's Isaiah 64, that says, even all righteousness is as filthy rags. So which means that no matter how much perfect and righteous we can be, it's like filthy rags, which means that that state of perfect obedience is really not going to, because even at that state, God says, filthy rags that.
that's very interesting. Let me give you another example in Luke chapter 1, verse 6, where he talks about Zacharias. There was in the days of Herod, you know, Judea, a certain priest called named Zacharias. Wife was daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. Then verse 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless.
Yeah.
Christ, because you and I are a sinner, whatever we can present before God, you remember we said at the beginning that when you want to keep the law of God, using your effort, using your power, like the Pharisees, who would go and stand at a corner, pray loudly so that people can see them, that is a legalistic way. You want to keep the law of God using your own power. So even your best outside the Holy Spirit, your best outside Jesus, the Bible presents as filthy rags. So because of that condition, you need another power outside yourself.
Okay.
You need a power outside yourself. And when you invite this power outside yourself, when Christ, you accept Christ as your personal Savior to live in you. Remember that verse in Revelation 3, verse 20? Verse
yeah.
says, I knock at the door.
Mm.
He wants to bless you with his righteousness.
Yeah.
When he puts on his righteousness, those filth rags inside, it will not be seen because he has put something better. Remember that was also the challenge with Adam and Eve. They put on fig leaves. That is the human way. They sued through the fig leaves, their own righteousness. That's what God says. Those are filthy rags. And God dressed them with something from outside themselves.
I see.
Just like your wife. Your wife does not apply to be called the Mrs. Zam. No. Immediately she gets married to you, she uses your name.
Okay.
And that's the marriage that we need with Christ. When we accept him, he blesses us with righteousness.
Yeah.
Someone who looks at, sees his righteousness in you. No longer the inside stuff because it's covered.
Okay, that's very interesting. Well, Pastor, I must say we'll leave it there. Made some very interesting comments there, and I think we are learning, but definitely, and I hope that you out there are also learning. If you have anything to ask the pastor, please do send it to +27 734 70 3520. We're not going to attend it today, but if you send it to me, the pastor is back tomorrow, so we are able to actually deal with those questions that you may have. Yeah, Pastor Munga, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
It's a pleasure, Brother Zam, and our listeners. God bless you and everyone.
Thank you so much.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.